Hello, everybody. This is the Monday Night Pod. Tyler Fenske. Tonight, we're going to be continuing our study here in Psalm 55, verse 16. It says, "But I call to God, and the Lord saves me. Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice."
Yeah, so tonight we really talked about just the concept of being set apart. That was the title of the message, was set apart, meaning just what the Lord says in John 17, where he says, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." So we talked about tonight, which is the importance of just the application of reading the word. And we started with in Hebrews 11, where it talks about verse 6, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." So without faith, it is impossible to please God. Well, then the question becomes, well, if faith is that important, how do I get it?
Mm-hmm.
Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love the point that you made. And one, we have to have faith. We have faith by hearing the word of God. So that right there, you want to know how to get salvation. Salvation is printed out exactly step by step, mm-hmm, in the word of God, right? It's not a secret. It's there for everyone to see and for everyone to hear, right? And that's the expectation, is, you know, read that and then, you know, tell people, right? And show them. And from there, I loved the point that you made tonight, where you talked about the Lord will bless those who earnestly seek him, right? Mm-hmm. You have to have that attitude that you're earnestly, that your heart, like, you talked about how, you know, it has to be intentional, right? God's not going to scream over TikTok. He's not going to scream over your phone. It has to be on you, just out of that reverence, that fear, that respect to seek him. And rest assured, he will bless you for that.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of went on a little bit of a tangent tonight. But, you know, I because I was thinking about that this week, and I, you know, because you read that verse, and, you know, and it says, he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And to me, my opinion is, some of the problem with just the prosperity teaching that was so prevalent in the church, you know, even just 10 years ago, still see it around. But when I say prosperity teaching, meaning the American church, you know, that was kind of the trendy teaching, was saying that, you know, God was there to, you know, to make you rich, and that if you would, you know, if you're just, you know, if you're walking with God, then, you know, you're going to get money, right? And I think it was, you know, just a lie from Satan, in that people that were simple believed it.
Mm-hmm.
So they started looking at, you know, that God was just there to hook them up financially.
Mm.
But then I think it also, then people that had some wisdom and had insight ended up, you know, it made them callous in thinking that, you know, that because the prosperity teaching wasn't true, and they knew it wasn't true, but then it made them just more callous to just the promises of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mark 10, 29, you know, talking about just a hundredfold in this present age.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like we're just reading in Hebrews 11, 6, right? He rewards those who earnestly seek him. You know, to me, it's always John 15, where it says the Father's the gardener.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not going to plant something and tend to it if you don't want it to grow, if you don't want it to prosper and to thrive.
Yeah.
You know, so God does want the best for us. And, you know, I think because of people kind of seeing that false teaching, it made them a little bit cynical and callous to, and just forgetting that, you know, God is for us, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that is intertwined with just, you know, the reading of the word and building out that faith, like it says, right? Because it's definitely just intertwined, mm-hmm, you know, that just relationship with the Lord, right? Mm-hmm. That if you are spending that time in the word, you know, yes, like you said, you know, making you wise for salvation, as it says in Timothy, right? But it's giving you the answers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can get a lot of trouble in life when you're dealing, you know, you're operating off the wrong information,
mm-hmm,
right? You know, or old information,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And that reading of the word that's giving you the that insight and answers into what God is calling me to be doing right now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. That was a very encouraging word tonight. You know, just the Lord does have our back, right? And people need to be reminded of that. The Lord's given you the blueprint through the word that's living and active, through the word that is truth,
mm-hmm.
right? You can take this to the bank every single day of the week, right? Mm-hmm. The word is truth. You can base your whole life on it. The creator of the world has given you the blueprint and said, here's my word of truth in writing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Use it. Be in it, right? And we'll talk later tactically on how we should go about it, how we ought to, ways to do that. However, point that you wanted to make, it just piggybacking off the point you made earlier, Satan is a lot sharper and more shrewd than we give him credit for. He is not a dummy,
right?
So in the same way that he is able to distort the word of God for some people who are more simple and saying, hey, God is Santa Claus,
right?
On the flip end of that, he was able to get the people who did have wisdom to be cynical about, hey, God actually is good.
Right.
And God will bless you. And God is looking to bless you. He's saying, hey, follow my word. Right. Set it in your heart. Right. We'll check the verses from Joshua later. That really stood out to me tonight. Those were great verses. But it's like, yeah, follow my word. Meditate on it. Right. We'll talk about that later. But understand that God is for you. He's just saying, hey, do these things. Right. That's all you have to do. Follow my word. Do these things. Draw near to me and I'll be with you. I'm not going to hang you out to dry. I have your back. And there's so many times where we let Satan take us from one extreme to the other, to the one lie to another. You know, if it's not this lie, it's that lie. You know, and he's always coming with it, right?
Yeah.
You know, and so that's one of the reasons why it is important to be in the word. So you can distinguish, you know, the truth from the lies.
Yes.
What did he say in Genesis?
Did God really say?
Did God really say he was going to bless you? No, did God really say, you know, being in the word just eradicates a lot of that.
Yeah, and that was a big point that we talked about tonight is, you know, the did God really say? Because that's been a lie that Satan's been using for 6,000 years, right? Because, you know, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. It's not that it contains truth. It is truth. So that means that that is the absolute standard by which you hold up reality to.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's science or history, that is all held against the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's something in the word that doesn't seem true to you, that just means you don't have all the information yet.
Mm-hmm.
And there are countless examples of, you know, the Bible just being proven true over and over and over again, whether, you know, for me, you know, I talked about some of that tonight, but, you know, as somebody who was a history minor and, you know, I've always been into history and read a lot of it. And it's like, you know, what that's called is just the argument from silence, because it's like every time that the Bible's been questioned on a historical basis, it's always been shown to be absolutely true. Whether it was, you know, they found something new through archaeology, whatever that may be, but, you know, it's been shown to be true over and over again. But it's not just history, it's science, all the above. It is the truth, right? And that's why Satan comes against that, right? Because if he can cast doubt into whether this really is truth,
mm-hmm.
now he's taking away that foundation as a believer. And that's where you see just that, you know, did God really say? And that's put forth in the, you know, you still see constantly like, well, why isn't this one book included in the Bible?
Mm.
See that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
My question to that is, so if you were to ask me that and say, why is this book not included in the Bible? I would ask, have you read it?
It's a valid question.
Have you read the Bible? Okay. So now that you've read this book and you've read the Bible, now tell me why you feel like it should be in the Bible,
mm-hmm.
right? Because it's never that they've actually read this book and they've read the Bible and they think it should be included. It's just they've heard this on TikTok. Somebody's regurgitated that. But it's always a case of like the book that they're referencing is something just completely non-spiritual. It's like they'll bring up like the Maccabees, you know, like, okay, here's an interesting historical book, but it's, you know, nothing spiritual, nothing to do with the Word of God.
And if you read that, you'd have the same conclusion.
Right, you know. And So that's one tack that Satan will use. And then you'll get the, like, you know, something in translation, or they changed the manuscript or something like that, right? Always trying to just cast doubt on, did God really say? The lie that Satan's been using for 6,000 years, right? But as it says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed. Mm-hmm. And is used for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So you got to be really careful with the whole, oh, well, that was just for that church back then. Mm-mm. Or that was just Paul saying that. Mm-hmm. Right? You better be really careful if you're going to say that. Mm-hmm. Right? Because all scripture is God-breathed and is usable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And then 2 Peter 1:20. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation.
Wasn't just Paul.
Right. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So if you're a believer, you believe that this is the inerrant word of God. This is the living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, as it says in Hebrews 4. This is the word of God. Mm-hmm. Right? And no lie from Satan can tear that down. Now, if you're listening to this, understand, when you read your Bible, you may not understand everything.
That's okay.
That's okay. Mm-hmm. Right? That's okay. I would say, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. If you want to know the truth, God will reveal it to you.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Right? If you are seeking the answers, you will find them. But yeah, you're going to read some things and be like, I don't understand this, whatever. But God will reveal that to you. We know in part and we prophesy in part. So you should have people in your fellowship that you can ask about that. Meditate on it. There's a lot of solutions to that. But don't walk away and think, oh, because I read this and I didn't immediately understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And understand, as you grow as a believer, you will understand more and more as well as you just grow in the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Absolutely. It's something that can be developed for sure. And one of the things that I could see people doing, if they're new to the faith or it's their first time actually being consistent reading the Bible, is they come at it with the wrong perspective of, oh, I'm going to read this like it's a book.
Right.
Right. Like, yeah, it's a novel, or like it's a school book, like it's a history. The Bible is the word of God and it's living and active.
And that's why I dislike where religious schools, they'll, you know, often have like a Bible class, but they're treating it like a book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. We're going to go through and
here's your homework.
Right.
Right. That's completely the wrong attitude that you should be taking towards scripture. Right. By all means, read the whole Bible. Right. But don't do it as like a chore list or with the heart of, oh, I just need to get through it. Like just the act of reading it makes me holy. It's like, no, man, the Lord has put so much in here. Right. For the reasons we've discussed prior, right? But if you can read it and be diligent in it, mm-hmm, to where you're taking it verse by verse and you're being focused on it and seeing what the Spirit might say to you through that verse, right? In other words, meditating on it. If you can take that approach to it, all of a sudden you start realizing this is living and active and this is not just another book. And when you read the books of the Bible and you compare it to books like the Maccabees, you can tell the difference between, correct, this is spiritual, this is living and active, and,
correct,
this is just another book.
Right.
Because when you're actually focused on it and intentional about it and have the right heart towards it, Lord, just show me things, like speak to me through this, Spirit, guide me. All of a sudden it starts pointing out to you, there might be things that point out in this season right here. Mm-hmm. There might be things that point out that you remember later.
Right.
Yeah. That's the living and aspect of it.
Yeah. 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 Jeremiah 29:13, right? You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart.
Mm.
Right. And we talked tonight about just the application of that, right? So if this is so important, and it is, and this is the foundation of your faith. I said that tonight, but it has to be your faith. It, mm-hmm, can't be your churches. It can't be your parents. It has to be yours.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's going to come with reading the word. So you can go to church every Sunday. If you're not reading your word, you're wrong. Right. And you can come to our Bible study every Monday. But if you're not reading your word, you're not getting anywhere. There has to be that habit in place. So what does that look like? We started with just the concept of you know, from Mark 1:35, where it says that, you know, while it was still dark, you know, Jesus went to a solitary place to pray, right? Luke 5:16, it says that Jesus would often withdraw to lonely places to pray, right? Psalm 23 leads me beside
still waters,
right? So that concept of it just being quiet, which is why many people call it a quiet time, right? But I made the point tonight of, because I really wanted that to get home, because I've seen people try to do that where they're, you know, they're trying to have, you know, they're trying to read the word, but the TV's on, they're still checking their phone, or the phone's right there, or there's a bunch of noise. It's not going to happen. And it's not because God's not capable of shouting over TikTok and shouting over your TV. It's that, think about it this, if you were on a date with somebody, right, and you just start, you know, plunking on your phone or just, you know, watching the TV in the corner of the restaurant, not paying attention to them, if they had any degree of self-respect, they're just going to get up and leave.
Yeah.
Right? So if a human being wouldn't put up with that distraction and disrespect, you think the Lord's going to? Right? So it's got to be, this is my time with God. So start with, it just needs to be quiet.
I value it. That right. Intentionality says, I value it.
Right.
Yeah. So this comes out from Joshua 1. Go forward.
Yeah. I mean, you know, just to conclude that point there. But, you know, so we're starting with it's quiet. Right. And then, I mean, talk to me about what do you do? Where do you go for quiet time? Like, give us just real examples. How do you execute it? Where do you go?
Yeah, quiet time. One could be in your room when it's quiet, right? Just, I'm going to put the phone away. I'm going to have solitude, right? Jesus says, don't pray and do all these things out in the public to where you can see. Go in your closet, right?
Yeah.
So that's a place, you know, if your house is quiet and you can have the discipline to take away all distractions, you can for sure do it there. One thing I like to do is go on a prayer walk where everything's off, right? I don't have any distractions on me or around me, and I'm just walking around the neighborhood. And it doesn't matter. It could be one lap, which is about 10, 15 minutes. It could be 3-4 laps, right? I'm not going to stop until I feel like I've gotten all I needed and all I could out of that specific time, right? To where I'm one, just listening. Lord, speak to me, whatever you need to speak to me, right?
Yeah, a lot of prayers is listening.
Just a lot of communication, effective communication is just listening, right? And then from there, you know, whatever is, you know, on my heart, God's not shy about, yeah, bring all your requests to me. You know, and so there is that give and take of, yeah, I'm going to listen for the Spirit, but, you know, I'm also going to bring those requests and bring my heart and everything on it.
Present your request to God, yeah.
Yeah, so, and just, you know, it becomes a habit for sure, but there's definitely some intentionality behind it. You know, the less distracted you are, the more effective it's going to be. And, you know, whether it's in a specific room, an office, a closet, it's funny the excuses that people make about why they can't have a quiet time. And by no means am I saying there should be some sort of religious rigmarole. No, it's intentionally diving into the Word of God and building your relationship with God, right? And that's the heart behind it, but it's important to have it, right? And it's interesting how the excuses that people will bring to me, and I'm like, okay, like when do you go to the bathroom? like surely there's a time when you do that, right? We could do all sorts of things to turn the map around. You could wake up earlier, you could go to bed later. Okay, if you're not capable of doing that and you're so busy, do you go to the bathroom? Okay, when you're going to the bathroom, instead of scrolling on TikTok, maybe you can open your Bible, right? Yeah. Like, so there's always a time and a place where you could do it. It's just finding what works for you. You know, what worked for me, you might not be in a neighborhood where it's quiet enough. You know, find a place that is. You know, it doesn't matter if you want to go out to Red Rock, if this is Las Vegas, right? Find a place that is and make that a priority. Seek first the kingdom. And all these other things will be given to you as well. And the only way you're going to find those things that work for you is trying, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we talked, too, just about, you know, I kind of shared out of my experience was that the first time that I, you know, read the Bible, you know, I actually was like disappointed because it was like I was reading and I was getting nothing out of it. And some of that was, you know, my immaturity and, you know, just my, you know, wishy-washiness period, certainly big factors. But some of it also was too, was that I was kind of stuck in the whole, like, I got to read a chapter and I got to read these chapters. And, you know, here's like the read the Bible in a year plan and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And if you're listening to this and that's worked for you, awesome. But, you know, I see Psalm 1 and talks about meditating. Psalm 119:15, meditate. 119:48, meditate. 119:23, meditate. And I'll tell you, like, I got so much more out of it when I went away from, oh, I got to read this certain amount to just, I'm going to set a time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and here's the set time. And I'll tell you, there'll be some quiet times that I'll read a lot. Like, you know, I read, I think, yeah, was it Galatians? But I remember that like some months ago. That just happened to be a quiet time and I read the entire book.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine. Then there'll be other quiet times that I'll literally just one verse. You know, and I'm cross-referencing with other verses and going back to the verse.
Mm-hmm.
But just the insights and how much more powerful that was and how much better my quiet times were when I started doing that. And it was just like this like flip where it was like it went from like it felt like almost drudgery where here I'm just going to read this amount and get through it and I'm not getting any insight to like, now it's like coming alive to me, you know, and it's like, well, what am I going to, you know, what am I going to learn today and what am I going to see today? And, you know, just like the deep things of God, you know, and it's not like that every day, but, you know, it was just it completely flipped for me doing that. So I'd highly recommend anybody out there just setting a timer, you know, and the guys in my small group, I always just advocate 15 minutes, just start with 15 minutes, you know, and you know, 15 minutes goes off, maybe you want to do more. Of course. Right? You know, but just starting with the consistency of doing that for every day, no matter what, 15 minutes. And we did reference that tonight, right? The most common excuse that Americans use is I don't have the time, which is, of course, a lie because you always have the time for who and what is important to you. Right? But if you truly are somehow just sprinting through life from sunrise to sunset, like you said, you can wake up earlier, you can go to bed later. Right. But that's obviously just, you know, like today, one of the high school kids said that his school completed a survey and found out that the average kid at his high school is on their phone for 8 hours a day. 8 hours a day just on their phone. We're not talking productive work. We're talking just mindless doom scrolling. OK, so we certainly have all the time. It's just, you know, are you going to be consistent with that? Are you going to form a habit like anything? You know, habits initially can sometimes be difficult, right? Just because they're out of the ordinary and we're always trying to move to homeostasis. Mm-hmm. Okay, but habits, unlike addictions, are a decision. Mm-hmm. So you just decide to do it, and therefore you do.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you feel like it or not, you just do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And obviously this is, you know, this is the most important thing. We talk in here about habits as it comes to, you know, training, nutrition for the athletes in here, so on and so forth. But you know, and that does have value according to Timothy, right? But this is the real deal, right? This is not some kind of negotiation thing where I'm going to be like, do I feel like this or not today? Every day, setting aside that time on quiet times, you know, start with that 15 minutes and be consistent with it.
Yeah, and just a word of encouragement just out of Hebrews 12:11 says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it, right? So if that's true in the natural with, you know, daily discipline, you know, natural disciplines, how much more is that with spiritual disciplines like reading your Bible and setting aside prayer time with God?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and it's more like, in my experience with guys, it's more like a, you know, you obviously get some just like pushback from Satan on it.
Of course. Yeah.
You know, where it's like, you know, eight different things, obviously, you know, coming down to just, you know, wanting to stay up on the phone or like, you know, don't feel like doing it or I'll just do it tomorrow or that kind of thing. I'm just coming against it. You know, I'm what, because we're saying something that sounds so simple, right? Okay, 15 minutes a day.
Mm-hmm.
It is simple,
yeah.
Right? But that is the thing about habits in and of themselves. You know, they're easy to do, but they're easy to also not do, right? Because you could be like, well, I'm not going to read today. You know, I'll do it tomorrow, right? And you don't see some kind of immediate consequence for not doing that. So that deceives you into thinking that that was okay then to put off and push back,
yeah.
Right? But, you know, it's just that it's establishing that consistency that no matter what, there's something I'm going to do every single day. I would say that, you know, probably the time that guys tend to get the most inconsistent is when they're just traveling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're in a hotel, whatever. They're out of their normal routine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where what you referenced earlier seems to work the best, just going on a prayer walk. You know, so just leave your room, go outside on the grounds and, you know, walk and pray.
Yeah. And just to, you know, go full circle with the value of consistency, this is another encouraging word from Joshua 1. 8 says, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong, courageous, do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go, right? So just, that's the promise that the Lord has, is if you meditate on his word day and night, if you spend time with him day and night, and you know, obviously the most important thing is, do it every day, right? Because over time, it's like you talk about the great quiet times you have, and nothing feels better than a good quiet time, right? Nothing will boost your spirit. Nothing will boost your mood. Nothing will have an impact on your day like a quality time spent with God, right? Mm-hmm. In order to have that, it has to be a common theme, right? You can't expect to just have it every once in a blue moon. It's like, whoa, that was awesome, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Lord will, I hope it is, but all the more reason to do it every single day, right? Seems like the more mature you get in your walk, it'd be wise of you to do it multiple times a day, in the morning and evening. There's some, like the verse we read from Psalm 55, really, it's morning, noon, and at night, right? How much more of a benefit would that be?
Yeah, three times, that'd be Psalm 55, Daniel 6, two times, Psalm 1, Joshua 8.
Mm-hmm.
Or Joshua 1, sorry.
Joshua 1, verse 8.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, I think it's like if you're in the mode of like you're not consistent yet, start with that consistency.
Mm-hmm.
Daily thing. If you're at the place that you do it once a day and you are consistent with that, which I'll be honest is very few people. I've gone to people that go to church and are saved and, you know, that's why they just don't grow in their walk, because they just are not consistent with their quiet time.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So it's like, got to start there. But if you've gotten down that consistency, then yeah, expand and go twice in a day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's really like, when does it fit in the day? Like, you know, that you, not that it fits, but that you can be, establish a habit with it, because then it gets easy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like for me, it's like, okay, I wake up, I, you know, eat basically a snack, right? Okay. And then I go right outside. I do a little mini workout is how you describe it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as I do the mini workout, I sit on my little stoop and read, right? Then I walk, and in the walk I pray, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's simple and effective, because that's every morning, right?
Mm-hmm.
Every morning, no matter what. And then I know, you know, depending on my schedule, either, you know, in the afternoon or then later at night, then I'll read again, right? But it just comes down to, like, for me, that's how it fits in the day. You know, that I know I can do that then every day, you know, every day of the week. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That allows me to be consistent. So it's like, if you want any habit to sink in, that's the key. It's like, all right, when can I do this every single day that it becomes a routine?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that it would be, like, absolutely abnormal if I wasn't doing it you know, around this time mm-hmm. in this sequence in the day, because then it just becomes a natural thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know,
if I, this could be one of our concluding points, but if I want to remember to put sunblock on, it'd be wise of me to have the sunscreen on my way, set apart on my way out the door, right? Just makes it easier to develop that habit, keep that habit. One thing that stood out to me is, yeah, have a set time every single day. But if you're someone who's looking to have that, you know, a little bit extra, you know, take it to the next level in your walk. One thing I've noticed about you and one thing I've done myself is I always keep my Bible on me. Right. So whenever yeah. whenever I'm going somewhere, whether it's out and about, whatever I have in my schedule, I have my bag with me. I always have my Bible in my bag because, you know, I never yeah. know when downtime can come up. I never
That's
know
a good point. Yeah.
when
yeah.
I'll have the opportunity to where, you know, if I have a spare 10, 15 minutes, that's something that could really build me up is just, you know, going over a proverb or going over whatever book I'm in currently, you know, and just getting that extra reading in it. You know, if you have it ready and accessible, you'd be surprised how many extra quiet times you could have throughout the week. You know, if you just have your Bible on you and take advantage of whatever opportunities pop up. So instead of scrolling on Instagram, I'm reading a few verses in the Word and praying yeah. and being built up. And
yeah, you know, that's a very good point. I never even thought about that, but just, yeah, having it on and having it in the bag. And, you know, to wrap up tonight, I would say from just my life, it was Psalm 1. And for some reason, I'd read that, but it never had just sunk into me. Mm-hmm. But it was a psalm that would be about 5 years ago now that I, you know, memorized. And I guess in the process of memorizing it, that's where it really sunk into me where, you know, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers.
Whatever
he does prospers. So it's like the Bible is giving you the playbook. Like if you meditate on this day and night, so there's that two-a-day aspect, right? Whatever you do is going to prosper. And I was like, all right, okay. Well, that's what God has promised. You know, then I'm going to do that, right? And it really just got me into, like, as soon as I was going two-a-days, it was like, you know, I felt like it was really compounding for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then it really became a thing where, you know, even now it's like, you know, I want to be able to read a verse, understand it, and then also be able to know other verses that, you know, expand upon that and add to that. Like I said tonight, I wanted to be my own concordance,
mm-hmm.
you know, where is the Spirit speaking to me and I could just be my own concordance with knowing the Word like that, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, but that's what I would, you know, encourage anybody out there to do is if you're not consistent, just start with that timer, start with 15 minutes. I'm going to do 15 minutes every day, no matter what. And then if you are doing that, if you are consistent daily, then see about going to two a day.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause it'll, you know, that really takes it to another level, mm-hmm. you know, and it's, you know, you're getting then exposure twice in a day to something that is completely different from everything else you're seeing in culture and media, from everybody you talk to, so on and so forth. You're getting, you know, just seeing the Lord. You're understanding the Lord and how God sees things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and it's just, you know, more valuable than rubies, as it says in Proverbs.
Absolutely. Not only are you getting truth, you're developing your relationship with God and you're starting to think with the mind of God. Right. And,
yeah.
and there's just so much blessing in that. So hopefully there are a lot of takeaways of that. You see the value of the Word and we've given you tactical, practical advice on how to be in that and be consistent with that. And really encourage you guys. Just there's so much payoff in that. And it takes life and your walk as a believer to a whole nother level. So that's what we have for you this week. This is the Monday Night Pod. Tyler Fenske, Psalm 55.